Praise God. Who else has got something? Bill, come on, man. Everybody really blesses me on an all share. We have some wonderful people that God's placed with us who are growing and developing on a daily basis. And I thank God for every one of you. Amen.
How long have I got? Can I have an hour? In my dreams. Good to see you, Roy's with us. Good to see you, Roy. Good to know that Andrew's on the mend. One of the things he will enjoy by not being here, he'll get the polished version of this, where the rest of you will have to put up with warts and all. So if you listen, anybody listening on the internet, get the cleaned up version. whilst Grace was reading from Isaiah, I just turned the page over and I've got some passages marked off for some reason in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 43. I don't know why. There must have been something on my mind at the time, so I'm going to read these little passages and see if it means anything to any of us. Isaiah 42, from 1 to 9. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. It must have been something on my mind when I marked that. I might have done it a couple of years ago. I don't know why. But see what this other one is. Chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. I assume that's how you pronounce that. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honoured and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. So again, I don't know what was on my mind when I marked that, but it must have been something. That's not what I was going to talk about. You know, 98% of people in Rwanda are Christians. That's nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today, but it's just something that came my way this week and it stuck in my mind. I'm going to share that because I think it's 1% of this country are Christian, in this Christian nation that we call it. I think the Muslims have overtaken us. I think they're on 2%. I don't know, I might be wrong, but that's what I've heard. I talk about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Just turn on to that for a sec. I wish these Bibles, the paper in these Bibles, didn't make this noise when you turn it on. I spend more time editing these bits out. It's all right while somebody's not talking, you cut it out, but if they're talking and doing this at the same time, then you can't, you know. Most people, they say that most people, or men especially, love to talk about themselves because it's a pride. It's a pride factor, and a lot of men have pride. I'm going to talk about myself today, but not for that reason. I'm going to talk about myself because what I have to say glorifies God and not me. The most difficult trait that I think to acquire is humility. It took me longer to receive that than anything else. And when you get it, it's beautiful. It's magnificent. It really is. It completely changes you. Changes your personality, changes everything about it, changes the people around you, because you radiate to the people around you and they radiate back and get feedback. I used to despise myself, which is one thing that we shouldn't be doing, but I did. But if you get to like yourself, it's because something's changing yourself, and if you're liking yourself, then other people will like you as well. So life becomes more pleasant because people around you, or people you have contact with, are a reflection of yourself. So if you're a nice guy, they're nice to you. If I want to be obnoxious and arrogant to somebody, they're not going to be nice to me, are they? So the world looks then like it's an unpleasant place to me, and I hate being in it, because everybody's nasty to me, and they're nasty to me because I'm nasty to them. I used to make a virtual career out of writing letters. Anything got up my nose, straight to the typewriter. Put it in writing, and it was always letters of dissent. I used to love sending them off. You wouldn't believe the stuff I used to send out. And that's why, as I look back on it now, I hate that part of my life. I hate that aspect. And I'm just glad I'm recovered from it, because it was an illness, it was an addiction, an obsession. And the only way to deal with any addiction, as you probably know, is to go cold turkey on it, keep away from it. My niece, when she was at school, she would come home and tell me something, and I'd start writing letters to that teacher. You know, you shouldn't be doing this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'd fill it with big words that were so many big words in it, because of the pride. I was so full of myself. And I'd fill it with these big words that the receiver would have to sit with a dictionary on the knee and translate it into something they could understand. And that's just me showing off. I used to write to newspaper. But I remember I sent one letter to the head teacher of this school complaining about the way she was doing the job. And she wrote back, "We don't receive letters, we don't accept letters of complaint from uncles, only parents." So I rewrote the letter and got my sister to sign it, sent it back again, and said, "Now you've got it from a parent, so deal with it." And that, you can't believe the amount of arrogance that was going on in that. This is 15, 20 years ago, like, you know. So hopefully we recovered from that fairly recently, because it was still going on, because, you know, I wasn't fully born again until a while ago. So we have to learn to love ourselves. So, you know, so at least I'm getting there. And I mean, love is a very flexible word. It covers a lot of things. I heard Billy Graham saying about, "Oh, I love this car. Oh, I love that meal we had last night." Oh, the love of God had for us when he went to the cross. That's from one extreme to the other, isn't it? How much do we love God? Do we love him with all our heart, with all our mind and all our strength, as in the first commandment? It's a far greater love than say, "Oh, I love that cake. I love that piece of cake I just said." 1 Corinthians 13:13. I think I'll just read that to you, so I'm just looking up. But now faith, I think anybody knows what it says anyway, don't we? It's a common one. "Now faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." I love God, and I can't get enough, because you find that what you spend most of your time doing is what you love most. if you spend all your time at bingo or in the pub, that's what you love most. I spend a lot of time in churches, you know, people might say to me. I have started going to the Sheffield Cathedral again since my accident, and people might say, well, what do you go there for? You know, it's a 3-hour round trip on the train and the tram for a 25-minute service. That's 3 hours out of my day, but the reason is it gets me into God's presence more, and I take communion every time I go, and this does something to me. It's as if God's speaking to me. So if I go 3 or 4 times a week, and I come here several times a week, and I go to St. Mary's, so I might go to church 7 or 8 times a week. Well, I think God speaks to me when I do that. So that's why I do that. You know, somebody told me this week, she's having a holiday. What's wrong with that? Everybody has holidays. She's not going anywhere. She's having a holiday from church. It's funny, isn't it, Pauline? Yeah, it's absolutely. I thought. I wonder if God turns around and says, "Well, I'm having a holiday. I'm going to have a holiday from Lord. I'm going to leave you to what's left when I'm not there. Let Satan take over, or something like that." So this woman's not coming to church for another few weeks. I don't know how long. I was absolutely gobsmacked when I read that on email. You know. Do we love our neighbours or ourselves? Yeah, I suppose. Who's our neighbour? We used to think it was the bloke next door, didn't we? I think the story relates to that Samaritan, doesn't he? Where the bloke was left beaten up at the side of the road, and the Samaritan came by and he took care of him. So that's loving the neighbour, I suppose. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, why does anybody have to go on holiday from church? There's people who don't come here every week. Some people don't go to other churches every week. And if you just come for 1 hour a week on a Sunday morning, that's 0.6% of your time spent in church. Why do you need a holiday from that? 0.6%, it's not a lot, is it? You know, what, 1 hour? There's 168 of them in a week. It's like, for me to go on holiday from God, it would kill me. Like, I shouldn't use that expression, but it would torture me, let's say that, because it would be like a drug addict trying to come off the gear. You know, I think I'd be going through what they go through, the stress and whatever else goes with it. So that's another one that varies in magnitude as well. Thank you, God. You can go from, cheers, mate, to, Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done for me. It's absolutely unbelievable what you've done for me. You've changed my life. You've changed my heart. Lord, I don't know where to begin. Thank you. That's the opposite extreme from cheers, mate. Oh, ta. Yeah. I'm going to go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 4 to chapter. Well, it's chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. It's only over the page. In fact, it's not over the page in my book. Now, when you move this microphone on that, it sounds really awful when you play it back. Your mind boggles at what it might be. Yeah, if anybody does that, make sure you pause me, you're talking, then I can cut it out. Yeah, we do, yeah. I shall cut that bit out of the recording, believe me. Oh, we're listening to God. I think that's what I'm talking about on this one. Let's see what it says. Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Is that what I was going to say? I don't ring a bell, that. Are we done chapter 3 yet? Oh, because that was a Proverbs chapter 3, 4 to 7, I think. Oh, I haven't actually read it ever, no. So you will find favour and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So I should have read that before I said everything else I've said that's relating to that. So we're out of I can twist it round on the recording, don't worry. So we're talking about Proverbs 4, 1 to 2. I think I'm going to go on about how much is hypocrisy, it says here. So Do we mean all we say? Do we say all we mean? I was going to say anything. I was going to expand on that or not. I can't remember. I've got Colossians 3, verses 13 after that. Colossians. I'm not taking up anybody's time, am I? Is anybody else waiting to jump in? 13. I enjoyed this. All right. All right. You can.
A lot of these things that you're saying have been thought in my mind this morning.
Great.
I'm going to confirm what you're saying.
So I was putting this together while you were thinking it. Just think, there's a bit of telepathy there, I don't think, because I did this morning. So.
I wanted to give confirmation.
Right. So Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Forgive, let it go.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what was on my mind with this. God knows all our thoughts. You can lie to us, you can fool us. People get in a bit of a fix, get locked in a corner in a verbal dispute. The one way out for some is to lie. A lie is an ultimate argument winner, because you can't tell them they're liars, you can't prove them wrong, they can't prove it while they're saying so, that's how they escape. It's a get out of jail card, you know. If people come out here and want to be healed, Andrew places his hands on them and prays over them, and they don't get healed, it's because it could be because there's something else. There's somebody they haven't forgiven. You know, we can come out here and say, yeah, I've forgiven. I can't think of anybody I haven't forgiven. I've forgiven everybody. It might be at the back of your mind and you might not be able to bring it to the fore. God knows it's there. And whilst ever it's there, you'll never be healed. It just doesn't work. And you can come out here as many times as you like and it won't work. How's that line go in the Eucharist? Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. But anyway, it's good to know God is a God of second chances, and we mess up, we can start again. I've messed up many a time in my life. Things I do, I tend to reflect. Right at the very end, I've got 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, if in Christ, new creation or something. Let's see what that's all about. Which we are, if we're born again. If you're not born again, then you're not a new creation. You're the same old, same old. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And God tells. Have I done an hour yet? Or have I got to carry on? Yeah, I'm just so glad that I am a new creation, amen. I'm just glad that things are not as they were. I get along with people better than I used to do. It's wonderful. I'm enjoying every moment of it. And I think God's had something to do with that. He changes your heart. You can't change it yourself. You have to ask God to change it. I ask God to change my heart. Do something about this individual that I've become. Even after I backslid. I mean, I've been coming here 13 years, but I backslid. And I went back to the letter writing and aggravation, the arrogance. And I went back to it. And I said, God, can you do something about this? Can you change this heart? And he changed the heart, and I renewed the mind. So, amen. Praise the Lord. I shall now step aside and let someone else minister to us. Amen.
Really, the testimony is so powerful, and you don't know how much good, Bill, it is to hear that. And we've seen it just open up before our eyes, haven't we? And it blesses us tremendously. Because a lot of what you're saying, we didn't know what was inside, but God knows what's inside and what needs dealing with. And if we're available to him, he'll do it. And we've seen it before our very eyes, and I thank God for that. In Isaiah chapter 42, when he talks, God talks about a bruised reed he will not break. I'd written a little note at the top of my Bible, and it's quite appropriate at the minute, and it says that shepherds used to play music with the reeds, but they were very flimsy and they were very easily bruised, but they were prolific. There were just hundreds, thousands of them in the field, and so when one was bruised, they would just snap it and throw it away and pick another one and get it shaped up to make music from it. But here, God is saying that a bruised reed, in verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. When we go through our down times, when we're bruised and we've got it wrong, and he will not snuff you out. When the music's gone out of you, he'll not snuff you out and throw you away. He will mend you, and he will take time with you, and he will bring you back. He'll restore you fully till the music booms out of you again. He doesn't throw you up and toss you away. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I thank God that when we fall, he'll make sure we're not cast down. If we repent, he's there to restore and to make the music sing out of us again. And I thank God he's not only restored Bill, but he's restored many of us time and time again. He knows we're going to fail. He knows we're going to fall. He knows that we're weak. But he is strong. And the more we get of this, the more we spend time in his presence, the more hungry and passionate we are for him, the stronger we shall be. And what inspires me about Bill is the passion that burns within him for God. And he will do great things for God because that passion burns vibrantly in him. And that's what God wants of all of us. And we don't all express it in the same way, but he wants that passion in our hearts.